Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Daily in the Word. The purpose of this broadcast is to encourage God's people every day from His precious Word. The message you're about to hear is based on the Bible and will encourage, challenge, and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I'm thrilled that you are tuning in to listen, and it's my prayer that you will be encouraged by God's incredible Word. Thanks again for your prayers and for your support. May God richly bless you today.
The promises of the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ are more relevant and powerful than ever before. In our series entitled, Hope is Alive, your heart will be encouraged and your perspective renewed as you learn about the hope Jesus came to offer. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. At times, we all face situations that appear to be hopeless. But when viewed through the lens of God's Word and your relationship with Christ, there is always hope. In today's message, you will be equipped and challenged in your walk with God by studying the truths of God's Word. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Kingdom Hope.
The Senate chamber has In God We Trust on the walls inscribed as a reminder of our forefathers' trust in the Lord. The Capitol Prayer Room has in Psalm 16 and verse 1, the scripture, "Preserve me, O God, in Thee do I put my trust." And there are still those who use that prayer room. And we're thankful that while their number is smaller, that they're using it. And we pray that their number will increase. And we thank God for the scripture there. The Library of Congress, perhaps you've seen or heard of John 1:5 being found there on the walls. "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." And I have seen in the Rayburn Building, where there is no vision, the people perish. And from place to place throughout our capital, we see reminders of America's Christian history. Samuel Adams wrote in 1772 these words, "The right to freedom is the gift of the Almighty. The rights of the colonists as Christians may be best understood by reading and carefully studying the institution of the great lawgiver and head of the Christian church, which are to be found clearly written and promulgated in the New Testament." How we thank God for our American heritage, how we thank God for our American history. The fact is, however, that empires rise and fall. The fact is that countries are strong and sometimes countries are weak. And while we are very proud of America today, we are thankful for our freedom and for the price that was paid. As Christians, we know today this world is not our home. We are just passing through. And we must live every day loving America, witnessing to Americans for Jesus Christ, but also realizing that our ultimate hope is in the coming kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we preach about today, our kingdom hope. And you see, some of us, I suppose, if we looked at it this way, we'd realize that we're involved in our jobs, we're involved in the things of this earth, but the closer you get to that point, you recognize that this earth, the kingdoms of this earth, that's not what it's all about. It's all about our relationship with God. It's all about one day being a part of His eternal kingdom. Well, let's study this subject this morning of the kingdom of God. Would you notice with me the announcement of the kingdom? Where do we first start hearing about this terminology called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? You know, it was first announced to the house of David. And God gave through His prophets revelation to David that He was going to set up a kingdom and that David would rule and reign, but that this kingdom would be a very special kingdom. It would be a kingdom that would have eternal ramifications. And I want you to notice in 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12, "And when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Verse 16, "And thine house and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." This was called a covenant made to David. This particular covenant is key in the promises given to Israel regarding the future kingdom of not only David's line being established by Solomon, but the ultimate kingdom that would be established from the line of David by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the kingdom that was promised was promised to the children of Israel and would be fulfilled ultimately in Jesus Christ. David's kingdom would be established under Solomon, and Solomon, of course, built the temple. David's kingdom was referred to as an eternal kingdom. And it was said in this prophecy that God's mercy would not depart from David's kingdom. Psalm 89 and verse 34 backs that up. It says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me." The Davidic covenant. It was a promise that David's kingdom would endure forever. Now someone says, well, David and Solomon are gone and the kingdom they once knew has been set aside. But God's promises are not gone, and God promised that this kingdom would be forever. How would that kingdom continue? Well, we know from the scriptures that kingdom continues because Jesus Christ lives. Isaiah spoke about the kingdom in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 when he prophesied. He said these words concerning Jesus Christ. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The promise, the announcement of the kingdom was made to David concerning the house of David, and it will be fulfilled when Jesus Christ establishes his throne to rule and to reign on this earth. And so the promise was given to David that there would be a blessing through his line, that his kingdom would be eternal in consequence. But I want you to notice not only the announcement made to the house of David, but the continuation of this promise concerning God's kingdom. Notice, secondly, it was made to the hearts of all people. You see, at the end of David's life, there was the continuation of an earthly kingdom. But then there has been the dispersion. There has been this time where the children of Israel were set apart. We thank God that they have had the restoration of their nation in the 1940s, and we recognize that is the beginning of the culmination of world history as we know it, preparing the way, I believe, for the coming of the Lord. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ would have us to be ready for, his coming. But I want you, if you would, to hear the prophecies concerning this kingdom. Hear the prophecy, if you would, of Gabriel. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now we begin to realize how God intended the kingdom of David to be an everlasting kingdom. It would be from the house and lineage of David that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, would come. And it would be through the Lord Jesus Christ that this kingdom would be established, which would be forever and ever and ever. Jesus Christ is called the Son of the Highest because he is God in the flesh. And Jesus would rule and reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end. That was the proclamation of Gabriel. But do you know, it was also the proclamation of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an intertestament prophet. He was preparing the way of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that John said in Matthew 3 and verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist was announcing, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ will come, and be ready. the Lord Jesus is coming. The kingdom of heaven will come. Well, Gabriel announced it, as did the prophets of the Old Testament. And John the Baptist announced it. And isn't it amazing then, when Jesus came and began his ministry, in Matthew 4:17, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He was announcing with this that he was the literal fulfillment personally to the prophecies given to David. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It could be said that Jesus could have stood before the crowds and said, "I am here, the one that was prophesied by David, by Isaiah. I am here, the kingdom of David, ultimately the eternal kingdom of God. I am here," Jesus said, "it is established." You see, the kingdom of heaven is the literal earthly kingdom that God had promised to David in the Old Testament. And yet one day there will be a literal visible kingdom ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is establishing the fact that he is the one to bring that kingdom in. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we see in the scriptures the announcement of the kingdom announced to David, but also announced to all of us by the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now we hear those terms, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The question I have for you this morning, how does someone gain entrance into that kingdom? We know that birth in this land gives someone citizenship in this land. We know that others can immigrate into this country legally, and they can, by that immigration process, establish their citizenship. But what must one do to be a part of the kingdom which Jesus spoke about, this eternal kingdom, this kingdom of God? I want you to think about the admission to the kingdom, if you would, this morning. Jesus spoke of a literal Davidic kingdom as well as an eternal kingdom. But I speak to you this morning of this eternal kingdom, this kingdom that Jesus Christ came to establish. How is one admitted into that kingdom? I want to say, first of all, we are admitted by way of the new birth, by way of the new birth. Now let's look at John chapter 3, if you would, for just a moment, and verse number 1. "And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doest these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, or unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see," what does it say, class? "The kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." You know, it's a wonderful thing to enter into the kingdom. And it's free because Jesus Christ has paid the price on the cross of Calvary. You know, friends, this morning, you can enter into God's kingdom by being born again. We're born physically into this world, but we're born spiritually by receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. And it comes through the new birth. Jesus said, "You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." Now we see in the scriptures, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Nicodemus said, I know you've got something, Jesus. What do I do? And Jesus said, if you want to come into the kingdom of heaven, then you must be born again. That happens through the new birth. And that happens because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, as they would take time for sacrifice, the Old Testament sacrificial system involved the shedding of the blood of an animal. And that animal was brought into the tabernacle or the temple. And that animal was placed on the brazen altar. And as that animal would be brought into the brazen altar, people would give this animal as an atonement for their sin. And this was the process during this early Davidic kingdom, during the days of Solomon and the building of the temple, when men and women would come, they would bring the innocent animal, the animal's blood would be shed and offered there on the brazen altar. And this was God's plan. It was the shedding of the blood for the remission of sin. But thank God, when John the Baptist was preaching there on the Jordan River banks, one day he saw Jesus coming and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." No longer would the blood of goats and lambs be offered and sacrificed, for now the one that all of these had pictured had come, and his name was Jesus Christ. And the cross replaced all of that sacrificial system, and it is through the cross of Jesus Christ that our sins have been forgiven. John chapter 3 and verse 14 speaks of it. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, admission into the kingdom must come through Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for our sin. "And whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but have everlasting life." During World War II, there was a paratrooper by the name of David Webster. He was in the 101st Airborne Unit, and he wrote to his mother a letter speaks highly of the character of our veterans and those who gave great sacrifice to save our freedom and, in many cases, our nation. He wrote, "Dear Mother, stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight. If necessary, I shall die fighting. But don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." Think of that. "Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." And when I was given a copy of that letter written to that mother, I thought, how true indeed. Those things that are precious are saved only by sacrifice. And we celebrate the sacrifice of our veterans and those that have given us our freedom. But we also celebrate the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself on the old rugged cross that we might be a part of his eternal kingdom. And when Jesus was there on that cross, he shed his blood for the remission of sins. Now, let me remind you this morning, the blood that was shed was the pure blood of Almighty God. It was God shedding his blood, for Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And the bloodline came into Jesus Christ, not from an earthly father, but it came from the Holy Ghost. And therefore, when the blood was shed, it was not the blood of just another man. It was the blood of God shed for you and for me. Acts 20:28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock," it says, "over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." This is speaking to the pastors at Ephesus. But notice, if you would, the last part of this verse. "To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his," what do the last few words say? "Own blood," you see. The church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. My friend, it was a great price that was paid for my salvation and your salvation. It was his own blood. It was a pure gift. It was a wonderful and miraculous payment. But notice, the blood is the payment for sin. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, "And without the shedding of blood is no remission for our sin." What I'm trying to say to you this morning, admission to the kingdom is free, but it is not cheap, for there was a great price paid. And the price that was paid was the sacrifice on Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oswald Chambers said, "All heaven is interested in the cross of Christ, all hell terribly afraid of it, while men are the only beings who more or less ignore its meaning." My friend, today in heaven, there's great rejoicing over the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, how we thank God for it. And the demons of hell tremble at the thought of the cross of Jesus Christ. But may we never ignore the meaning of it. For there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our freedom and for his resurrection, which guarantees our justification through his power and by his word. Well, the announcement of the kingdom was made way back to David. And he said, David, your kingdom is going to be an eternal kingdom. And someone says, but how? And then we read in the New Testament, of the house and lineage of David, there comes this one whose name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he will be the one who rules all nations. He will be the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. He will be the one who establishes this heavenly kingdom. And the admission to the kingdom will come by way of the cross of Jesus Christ. Notice, though, not only the announcement of the kingdom and the admission to the kingdom, but notice, thirdly, if you would, the advancement of this kingdom. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. I am thankful for America, and I'm for the advancement of our country in every way. I'm embarrassed that we owe so much money to China. It's frustrating to me at times, and it's frustrating to see some of the problems that we have. I'm for America staying on the cutting edge in our defense industry and staying strong. And I agree with President Ronald Reagan that it is through our strength that we can have a better opportunity to bring peace to the world. I'm for the advancement of our country economically and militarily and in every single way. But I've given my whole entire life not merely to the advancement of our country, but to the advancement of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this church is all about. Did you know that? Did you know we have missionaries today in the Philippines and in Russia, and missionaries in El Salvador and Honduras, and missionaries in England, and missionaries in Turkey, and missionaries all around the world? Did you know that our missionaries are not preaching American patriotism this morning? That's not why we sent them over there. Now, they're patriotic. They love America. Some of them are watching us this morning on live streaming. They miss America. But we did not send these 180 missionaries to the uttermost parts of the earth to preach American patriotism. We sent them there to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, may we recognize it today that our call is a call to advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me be very clear. No place in the New Testament does it ever imply that the church will bring in this kingdom. It's not our job to bring in the kingdom. We are not amillennial in our theology. We're premillennial. We believe that Jesus Christ himself will bring in that kingdom. We're a part of the kingdom in the sense of our salvation and the new birth. But Jesus himself will come and establish that kingdom at the time of his second coming. Now, how can we advance, though? How can we enlarge, if you will, the population? How can we be a part of God's plan of building the kingdom? Let me share two thoughts with you. First, we can do that by being an evangelistic people. God has given us the good news. You say, well, we don't know who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. I agree with you on that one. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, I don't know who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. So I'll just tell everybody and I'll leave the rest up to God. That sounds like a good plan to me. I'm not the soul winner. The Holy Spirit's the soul winner, but I'm to be a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many in our society who would like us to keep our message right here in the four walls of this church. They don't mind if you have a cross, a Bible, or if you sing a hymn. Just don't go to a public school and tell somebody. Just don't go to a public shopping mall and tell somebody. Just don't get too much television broadcasting it. Just try to keep it all to yourself. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia said recently, church and state would not be such a difficult subject if religion were, as the court apparently thinks it to be, some purely personal avocation that can be indulged entirely in secret. Increasingly, the courts are saying, you can express views about God, just do it, just don't do it outside the walls of the church. Well, I've got news for you, folks. The whole Christian life is intended to be taken outside the walls of the church.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chappell would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.